young people, our children at this time, as we greet our pastor with a hearty amen.
Amen. God is good, and most of all, God is great, and He's greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Tonight we're going to start our scripture reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, and if we were to have a topic tonight, I think it would be spiritual regression. Amen. Spiritual regression. Anyone want to give me a definition for regression?
Backwards.
Going backwards, all right. That's good anymore?
Backsliding.
Got degrees, all this?
Backsliding.
Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Regression is returning to a former state, a former way of life. That would be a more accurate description. It is going back. Amen. It's going back to a former way of life, a former state. Amen. So we're dealing with spiritual regression, and I think you can put the rest of it together. But that's what we're going to deal with tonight. Amen. Deal with the fact that God is good, but God has a way. And God has a direction and a way that He wants all of us to undertake. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But thank God tonight for my wife being here.
Amen.
Yes, she's been toiling and working in the vineyard. And we just thank God that He's given her strength. Amen. Amen. Continue to do the work of the Lord. Amen. There are so many needs within the body of Christ. And the scripture says that we are all members in particular. But most of all, the scripture says when one suffers, we all suffer.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. And if you want to find out how good you get, you have it. Just go around and try and help somebody else. And you'll find out indeed you're blessed. And we are better than blessed. But we're going to read, we actually have a lot of scripture, but we're going to read for just for the sake of time. I want to read from verse 13. And we'll conclude by reading verse 17 together. And then we'll go through some more scriptures a little later. Amen. Verse 13 through 17. Because I know all of you all are as young as I am. So you can't stand that long. So I'm going to shorten the time for you all. Amen. Yeah, I wish I had a praying church in here. Amen. Let's start. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Stop for a minute. So as He has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That means your conduct or how you live your life. So we have to be holy in what? All manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call upon the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time you are sojourning here in fear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness, your mercies, and your wonderful kindness and goodness unto us. Lord, tonight we lift up those in need, especially Sister Maggie, as well as those all across this country, the nation, and the world that are in need. Lord, you know their needs. And we thank you because you are God, you are able to supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. Lord God, but our heart's desire tonight is speed. Father God, for we want to be in your perfect will more so than anything. Lord, order and direct our steps through thy word. Then, Lord, we thank you, for we know you hear this prayer. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be seated. Amen. So tonight we deal with a spiritual regression. Amen. Before we go to this, I want to, we'll start here. Let's go back to verse 13. A spiritual regression. So a regression means that you have reached a certain plateau or place, but then there's a gradual return back to where you have come from. And on Sunday, El Mackey went over the fact that if we're in Christ, we are what kind of creature? We are a new creature, and we become a new creature. All things have what? And behold, all things are new. The one of the greatest challenges in Christendom today is we don't realize that when God says all, He means all. Amen. God doesn't mean some of all, otherwise He would have said some of all. So He said, if any man be in Christ, how many know we're in Christ?
Amen.
Then guess what? All things have become new. And when all things have become new, the old man is now dead. Well, the devil knows that the old man is dead. So what does he try to do? We will never be back in that spiritual condition again. So what he does is he gradually works on us. It's a subtle attempt to get us not back to what we used to be, but to act like we used to act. Because if we're in Christ, we're new. God has washed away our sins. But there's an old saying, he works on the mind. You know, the old saying, idle mind is the devil's what?
Workshop.
An idle mind is the devil's workshop. So what he tries to do is idle our mind through our suffering and our trials to get us to go back to where God has delivered us from. Amen? So it says, wherefore gird up the loins. And what does it say, loins of your what? Of your mind. And I do have all the Greek words, but we're not going to go through all of that because for the sake of time. But this gird up was a word that they used back in Israel's day. Now this word is only used one time throughout the whole scripture, this gird up. And it's a Greek word. The Greek word is actually anazonomy. Don't ask me to spell it, I got it. It's anazonomy, which means to gird up. And what this actually means is to engage as in strenuous or arduous work. So when it means to gird up, it's actually a term that they applied to the Orient or the Middle East, where because they wore a robe, and if they were on a long journey or doing a tedious task, they would have to wrap their belts to hold their robes up so that they would not hinder them. So what he's telling them, he said, now you have to wrap it up. You got to hold up what? The mind. Amen. The battle is won and lost where?
In
our minds. So he's telling them, he said, now gird up the loins of your mind. And how many of you are weightlifters? Everybody's seen the Olympics. We've seen weightlifters, right? What does a weightlifter do before they go and lift up those really heavy weights? They do what? Put on one of those belts, right? That's for support. Amen? Well, what he's saying is the battle's so great, it's going to be so strenuous that you put on your belt to take an active approach with your what?
Mind.
Amen? Because the battle is won or lost in the mind. So he said, now gird up the loins of your minds and be, it means to be alert spiritually. Amen. You have to be watching. This sober goes along with watch. It means you have to be mentally and spiritually alert and awake. Because the devil comes at us in so many different angles. If you just rest for a minute, he'll slip in. So Paul is telling, Peter is telling, be sober, and most of all, you got to keep hope to the end. But what do you have to do first? Work on your minds. Gird up your minds. Why am I girding up? Gird up means that's a battle. There's going to be some type of proactive approach that you have to take in this salvation. Amen? Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll come back to this quickly. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 1. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird it up, why? Because you have some tough challenges. Amen. And then Peter explains it a little further here. He says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, it's a battle. Amen. We have to try, as Paul said, to keep under our flesh. For as much as Christ has suffered for us, how? In the flesh. A lot of times they say, well, when you say you got your cake and you need it too. Amen. Paul tells them in Acts, I think it's chapter 14, verse 22, he said he went about exhorting and encouraging the saints when he said that we shall through much tribulation enter into, this tribulation means there's some effort that required on our part. People get saved and they just want to jump and shout and they just, oh, I can just leave back and relax. No. As Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he said the only thing that way that we will make it is we have to do what? Arm ourselves what? With the same mind that Jesus had. And Jesus, remember when he was in the garden? He said, Lord, I know my Father, I know my days are ahead of me. He said, but if it be possible, I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. He said, but if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The flesh does not willingly want to suffer. Amen. Jesus, our great example, did not want to suffer, but he resolved. He said, but for this cause came I into the world. Amen. This was my purpose. This was the purpose in wrapping this deity in this flesh. Not for me to live forever, because he could have, because he's God. But he said, if it be possible. Amen. No, who likes suffering? Anybody else like suffering? Y'all can participate in that, right? If you don't say no, then I'm going to mean yes. Who likes suffering? I don't. I'm going to tell you now. Wave hand, feet, leg, everything. Put it. I don't like to suffer. Jesus said, Lord, but not my will. Amen. Let your will be done. So it says, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Well, why do I have to arm myself with the mind of Christ? For he that has suffered in the flesh is what? If I don't want to sin, I got to arm myself with that mind. And then because I don't want to sin, I arm myself with that mind. Amen? Amen? Let this mind be in you who was on, that was also in? Amen. What kind of mind did he have? He was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal. But then he said, I won't even make myself no reputation. I'm just going to be humble. You got to have that kind of mind. He that suffers in the flesh has what? So, everybody said, well, we get saved, you can do this, name it, and claim it. He said, no, arm yourself with this mind. Amen. The problem with the church today, the reason so many people are turning their back or regressing back, is because they're not arming themselves with the mind of Christ. They're not girding up the what? Loins of their mind. So when the first test comes, we retreat. We run. Amen. We turn our backs on God. If you read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, God gives you armor to protect everything but your what? Back. Because God never intends for his saints to turn their back in the battle. Well, the only way you can't turn your back and you won't quit. Say, well, brother and sister, what happened to them? Amen. They didn't arm themselves with that mind. The only way that we can resist sin is we have to arm ourselves with the mind. When you don't arm yourself with that mind, you have a soul spiritual regression. Amen. Let's go to the next verse. That he no longer, well, Lord, why do we need the mind of Christ? Amen. Why do I want to arm myself with that mind? I know what he went through. Hebrews chapter prayed and cried out. He suffered. He struggled. Amen. Why? That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the what? Lust. Lust. God saves us. But David said, I was shaken in iniquity and in sin. Did my mother conceive me? That sinful nature, that endemic nature, has been passed on ever since Adam sinned. So that lust is in your flesh. Somebody say, oh, I have a lust. It's not true. It's in there. It could be for different things. Somebody, when they think of lust, they always think it's for the opposite sex. Some people lust fame. Some people lust popularity. Some people lust money. Some people lust to have more. Some people lust to be like somebody else. Lust is in all of us. Why? Because it's passed on from Adam. Even those that have not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, you still got it in you. Amen? So their lust is in there. Should not live the rest of their time in lust of flesh, but we want to live to the what? Will of God. We want to live to the will of God. Well, how can I live to the will of God? How can I resist this sinful flesh stirred up onto your mind? And arm yourself likewise with this same mind. Amen? All right, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. So he says we must gird up the loins of your minds. Amen. You can't do it for me, and guess what? I can't do it for you. You know, all of us parents, all of us got children. We got some grandchildren. Thank God we ain't got the degree yet. But some of you have some great grandchildren.
I think.
Yes. Amen. You can't do it for your great grandchildren. You can't do it for your children. That's why Paul said, work out your own salvation. We can pray for them. We can put them on the altar. But when it comes to actually being saved, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling and godly reverence. Let's go to the next verse, 14. It says, well, how can I arm myself? What do I have to do? As what kind of children?
Obedient
children. Now, can you be disobedient and get God's favor? Can we be obedient, disobedient, and get God's favor? Some people have their lives so disobedient, they say, but I'm a prayer warrior. Wait a minute. You can be disobedient and be a prayer warrior? Amen? Now I'm going to go over scripture with you real fast. Go to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. We're going to go through this real fast. A lot of people are walking contrary to God. They are not obedient children. What are you going to be obedient to? The Word of God. So when you refuse to be obedient to the Word of God, they say, well, you can still know how hard it is. We do know how hard it is. That's why I said, arm yourself with this same mind. Because he that has ceased, he that was suffering the flesh, is going to be effort. It requires work. Salvation is not just here. The devil has the one desire. Now, it's like, you know, they said, misery loves what?
Company.
All right, I'm going to teach y'all some stuff. Misery loves company. Can y'all say that?
No.
Misery loves company. The devil knows his destination is hell. He has no hope, no chance on making it to heaven. Do you think he's going to make your life easy?
No.
You think he's going to make, oh, hell yeah, you just go here. I'm not going to bother you. No. He knows his time, his days are numbered. Revelation chapter 12 says he knows his days are short. So you know what? He's constantly going before God accusing the brethren. You think it's going to be easy being saved? No, it requires effort. But part of effort is obedience to God. So people are disobedient, they walk contrary to God. They say, I pray every day. I read my Bible every day, but do you live it? Yeah. Amen. Verse 9 says, evil men, oh no, that's not it. Okay. Are you trying to mess me up? All right. Go back to, no, I don't want that one. 9, not 5. Sorry. That was my sudden accent.
I know it's for Southern accent. I gotta bring it back up north.
Five. Yeah, come on, say five. You always say five. I be thinking it's Southern people. It must be me, right? I said five? Okay.
Nine, sorry.
This is obedience to God. He that what? Turneth away his ear. When you willingly decide to disobey God's word, amen. When you make a conscientious effort, it doesn't say he that, it doesn't say he hears his word, he does what? Turn. He knows what the word says. We know what God says. We turn our ears from hearing God's word. It said, when either your prayers they want, it's on the screen. You cannot walk contrary to God and think God is going to keep blessing you. It says when we turn away our ears as not obedient children, but as disobedient children, it says even when you pray, God won't honor that prayer. Because that prayer is a what? It's an abomination. Abomination means God detests it. God doesn't like it. So how can we live contrary to God and expect God to bless when God says even your prayer is an abomination? Well, you say, well, he'll bless everything else. Your prayer is a direct communication between you and who? God. God says your direct communication with him won't be heard. How is the rest of your life going to be blessed? Amen? Amen?
Amen?
So we need to be, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. We need to be what kind of children? Obedient children. Well, if I want to give heed to God's word and I'm going to be an obedient child, then he gives us a requirement. By not what? Fashioning yourselves according to the. He said, don't regress. Don't go back. Amen. This fashioning yourselves, this word is used a couple of times in scripture, but in Paul says it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says fashioning, Paul says by now what? Conforming to this world. So to fashion is the Greek word sushimantismo. Got that one out. Oof. All right? No, all right. I gotta ease up on you. I gotta be so serious. Man. I think you're going the wrong way. Loosen up. Sushimantismo. And what it really means, we get our English word schematic, a scheme from it. It means to not shape yourselves according to the appetites of this world. Fashioning means, and there's another example like my wife makes dresses. You ever seen anybody, ever sew a dress? All right, y'all don't know about sewing. All right, let me go somewhere else. But when you sew a dress, you have a what? Pattern, right? What he's saying here is don't fit the pattern of your former life. Amen? Sushimantismo means don't fit the fashion or the pattern of your former life. Stop conforming, but you must be transformed. The church is trying to get God's favor, but we're conforming or fashioning ourselves according to the former lust, the world. Amen?
Amen?
Not in Christ. Former lust in your ignorance. Amen. Now we've got to remember, the Bible, in essence, this is for all my ministers, amen, and for those that are theological students. The Bible is pretty much written in the New Testament is in what language? Greek. Amen. Now the Greek was presented in a way of knowledge or wisdom, and most of the Greek influence came from three philosophers. Amen. Name one. Give one.
Plato.
Two.
Augustus.
Aristotle? Socrates, that's right. They played a big part, and we know those as well, ungodly men. Their lives were horrendous, but they played a big part in Greek. So when we read the scripture, it has a Greek influence, but a lot of the time it doesn't bring out the true essence of what God was trying to say. Because the Bible in its original form was in the what? Hebrew. Amen. So when a lot of time when we deal with the scripture, we deal from the Greek, but it's from more of an intellectual viewpoint. It's not from the spiritual. Amen. So what we have to do in reading the scripture is we have to dissect the words. Now, the laity, you all have to do this, our job. Amen. That's why the ministers search the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so or not. Amen. And they study to show themselves approved unto God. Right? Well, it says, and their former lust in your ignorance. Ignorance comes from a word in the Greek, which means agnoia, which means not knowing, from which we get the word what? Agnostic. Amen? Means not knowing. What we add, or we do contrary to God, we act as though we are an agnostic. Amen? And we don't know God's word. Agnostic, you either believe, you're atheist, or you're what? Agnostic. Well, it says that in our ignorance, y'all can look all this up, but I'm not going to give you all of it. All right? So y'all, that's right, you got this homework too, because you are the Bereans, and you're supposed to go back, you're supposed to receive the word of God of all readiness of mind, but then you have to go what? To see if those things are true or not. So yeah, we all got some homework to do. Amen? Yeah. Amen, but it's right. It is right. It is.
So it says we do it in our ignorance.
What Peter is saying is that when you go contrary to God, when you're disobedient, you are acting just like an agnostic. By going back to your former lusts, you are saying that God and His Word is not true. Amen. So we must not fashion our lives by the what? Former lusts. Amen. Let's keep going. But as He is which is called you as holy, so be ye holy. Look at verse 17. Amen. Let's open myself into inventory. It says, and if you call on the Father, who without? Well, guess what? Oh, I'm the bishop. Oh, I'm the elder. Oh, I'm the pastor. It doesn't make a difference. God says when it comes to His Word, there is what? No respect of person. Amen. Unfortunately, today in society, a lot of people tell the saints to act a certain way around the saints, but when they get away from the saints, they act contrary. God says, wait a minute, I'm watching you. There's no respect of person. Amen. When you start acting like an agnostic, when you're not obedient to my word, when you regress back spiritually into your former lusts, God says there's no respect to persons. Amen. There's no respect to person. He said, who will judge according to every man's word? Well, did you hear what I said? God said, no. I saw what you did. So the challenge to not go back into spiritual regression is what do your words say? What are the fruit of your doings? God does not go by our mouth, He goes by our works. And you say, well, God, just have mercy. He said, wait a minute, my word cannot be tailor-made for your personal situation. He said, for me there is no respect of person. Amen. So when God judges us, when He judges me, I can't go out and look like a sinner and do all kind of things and then go and say, oh God, don't you know who I am? Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Amen. It's not important who I am, but who I represent. I'm a what back? Ambassador of Christ. So as an ambassador of Christ, I can't go out and misrepresent. represent God. Because when they look at me, they're going to say, you represent the Father? You represent God? Our works have to fall in line with His words. We cannot turn away our ear from hearing God's word and expect that God's going to hear our prayer, because even our prayer is an abomination. We do not want to get tied up in spiritual regression. I don't want to go back to what God has delivered me from. Amen. I don't want to go back to the former lust. So since I don't want to go back, then I must pass the time of my sojourn here in godly reverence. I must reverence God and His word. So many in the church, so many saved, living for God, really don't reverence God's word. Well, I know God says this, but you don't understand. No, don't go back to the former lust. That's a spiritual regression. Amen. Yeah, so many people say, well, you don't understand the curse of my childhood. You can't go back there. You know, they say that's a generational curse. If that's a generational curse, then God's word is not true. Plan. I got a generational curse. Well, how did you become a new person? Well, you got saved, old things and all things, but you went back on the other side and brought back some former stuff. Amen. Not in Christ. Amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18, and we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 18, then we go to Jeremiah chapter 10. The devil's desire, because none of us, I should have made reference to this, the word lust, the former lust, what lust really means is this, you know, there's lust in all of us, but the Bible, James talked about lust when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Well, the problem with lust is in all of us. The problem is when lust gets expression. When lust is allowed to express itself. And what they said, the word for lust, that's hard. But my wife was listening to me. She said, how do you get all the words? Because I go to the Bible, I had to let them say the words to me. I just say the Greek word for it, but you all look it up. But this lust means to make a violent disregard to God's word. Not just a disregard, but when lust, any lust that expresses itself, it's a violent disregard for God's word. It's just I know what God said, but I'm in violation. It says in the scripture, if you go back and study it all the way back, it's like a volcano that erupts. When that lust gets an expression of passion or expresses itself. When a volcano is going to erupt, guess what? Nothing can stop it. When we go back to our former lust and allow them to have expression, they are explosive as a volcano. That's what that Greek word really means. Amen. And then David, one of the scriptures, David says, when he sinned with Bathsheba and he murdered Uriah, David said, and this is what we have to do. A lot of times we try to please everybody else, and we forget about God. Amen. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. We need to do something to be right in God's sight. Against thee and thee only, he said, have I sinned. But he sinned against Bathsheba, and he sinned against Uriah. But that wasn't the deciding factor. If he honored God, he would have never allowed his lust to have an explosive reaction. And that explosive reaction, not only did he commit adultery, he also committed murder. So we must keep those lusts intact. Amen. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord. How many know He's our God? How many know He's our God? I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, when ye dwell, I delivered you. He said, not only did I deliver you, he said, I delivered you with a mighty hand. Amen. He said, I gave you a great deliverance. He said, now, you can't regress. I don't want you to what? Go back there. I don't want you to be fashioned according to those former lusts. Amen. So he said, don't even allow your mind to go back there. Amen?
Yeah.
He said, after the doing of the land of Canaan will I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in there. God says, do not place that above my word. He said, first of all, I delivered you. I don't want you to even allow your minds to go back there. Amen? He said, you shall do my judgment and keep my first. Hey, we skipped the best four? Okay. You shall do my judgment, keep my ordinances to walk therein. Why? So we're supposed to do what? Walk in God's ordinance. Verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which if a man do, you're going to live in them. What? We're not going back. Amen. We're not going to a spiritual regression. We're not going back to the former lust. We're not conforming to this world. We're not being fashioned of following the pattern that we came out of. And that's the question tonight. What pattern are we following? What's shaping us? What's fashioning us? Is it God's word or is it what we used to do? Do we act like a saint now? Are we starting as we're saying to act like we used to act before we got saved? Amen. Are we thinking like a saint now? Or are we thinking like we used to think before we got saved? On our jobs, when we represent God as an ambassador of Christ, are we representing Him on this side of salvation? Are we representing Him like we did before? We got saved. Amen?
Amen.
That's what God is saying. He said, in all things, we are to represent Christ. If a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord your God. Now go to verse 24. I am the Lord your God. Then we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10. It says, defile not yourselves in any of. Don't go back. Time you allow your mind to become weak. Time you stop fighting. Time you go back to the former things. You defile yourself. The scripture says, be holy, God says, for I am. Holy is pure, clean, unspotted with the stain of sin. Holy is pure and clean, unspotted with the stain of sin. He said, the minute you go back, you defile yourselves in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I, God said, now I got rid of all that because I didn't want it to influence you. If I cast them out and I brought you to a land flowing with milk and honey, don't go back and learn your old ways. Don't spiritually regress. Don't go back to the ways of the heathen. You are now saved. You're walking in the light as he's in the light. He says, so fulfill ye my joy one to another. Why? We're supposed to walk in the light. That's what's in the next verse. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity there upon it. And the land itself, they said, God said, fucking it up in heavens because of their defilement. Because they were what? Contrary. They did not conform to my word. They were not obedient. They did not walk in my ordinances. So God said, the land vomited out the inheritance thereof in heaven, sorry. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment and shall not commit any of them. Anytime you go contrary to God's word, it's an abomination. Amen. You can pretty cold, you can sugarcoat it, and you know, play all that stuff. What God, the Bible said, Paul says it in Corinthians, either yea or nay, nay. There's it's not an in-between. Amen. It's not a fence. There's not a lukewarm where we can go on hot and it doesn't work.
Amen.
That's an abomination. An abomination is I know God's word, but I can't do it all. Yes, we can. If you arm yourself likewise with the same mind. The problem is our minds are no longer geared governed by God and His word. Our minds have become governed by the world. So, well, I read People's Magazine and Cosmopolitan and this Metropolitan and that Metropolitan. No, read His word. Leave all that other stuff alone. It's not going to fashion you according to God's word. Amen? All right. I say, preach. Neither any of your own nations nor any strangers that sojourn among you, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out. When we go contrary, God says, with me there's no respect of person. Did we read that earlier?
Amen.
Right? Amen. With God there's no respect of person. So if I spew not them that were contrary before you when you walk wrong, he said, then guess what? I'll spew you out also. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10 for the sake of time, and I don't want to keep y'all here all night. Amen. That should have been a whole lot of amens. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10. What happened? God warned them not to go back. Spiritual regression. He said, listen, he told them, I don't want you to even learn the way of the heathen. He said, I don't want you to entertain going back to Egypt. I don't want you to think about going back to Egypt. Amen. What happens to us when we get to a hard time? Anybody go through some hard times?
Amen.
Go through some troubles, some distresses, can't figure out what to do? When we don't trust in God, then it's a gradual erosion. We start going back. And we'll find out what happened here with the children of Israel. Now, God has already warned them what? Not to go to Egypt. Isaiah, I think it was 150 years before Jeremiah or so, he told them, woe unto them to go down into go back. From the time Israel came out of Egypt, God kept telling them, don't go back. Oh, everything you learned in Egypt, he said, forget it. Don't go back. The saints of God are saying this tonight, don't go back. Don't think about it, don't entertain it. Amen. So he says, hear ye the word which the Lord is speaking unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not. Jeremiah chapter 44. That is the will, but I don't want that one. Go to Jeremiah chapter 44. That's my fault this time. It wasn't the north or the south. I was just playing wrong. Jeremiah chapter 44. But don't learn the way of the heathen. That's a good one, but we don't want to go there. Actually, this will tie into 44, but we don't want to take that time right here now. First one reads, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land. Now what did God tell him? Don't regress. He told him, don't what? Don't go back. How do we find God's people back in the very place that he brought them out of? Amen. How do we find them back in Egypt? The devil's tactics have not changed. If you're saved, honor your salvation. Amen. Seek to please God. Solomon said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits unto me? He said, I'll take the cup of salvation and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And he didn't stop there. He said, I will pay my vows. Pay your vows. You're on God's side. Pay your vows. Then, well, how are you going to pay them? Before all the people. He said, I'm doing it in the privacy of my home. No, before all the people. We need to pay our vows. They're back in Egypt. And go to verse 2. Next verse. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. This is when God had brought Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians down because Israel kept doing after the heathens. Jerusalem was burned with fire and were destroyed. But he left a remnant of the Jews back. But he's telling them, in your trouble, you saw what God already did to the rest of the Jews. What are you doing back in Egypt? It's what he's telling them. He said, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me, in that they went to burn incense and to serve an agnostic, acting in ignorance, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent you unto all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this. God says, don't go back. Don't serve other gods. Don't live according to your own desires and your own will. He said, I hate this. It's an abomination. When you go contrary, God said, I don't like it. When you walk according to your own mind, God says, it's an abomination. He said, I hate that. He said, now, for thousands of years, I've warned you. How, even though you had trouble, the Babylonians came in, everything was destroyed, why did you go back to the very thing that I delivered you from? Amen? That's what the devil always tries to do to those of us that are in the church. Always trying to get us to go back. One more thing, let me go real fast. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from there, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and my anger, amen. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. As he told them, he said, I spewed out the wicked that were before you. When you go after their wickedness, God said, I will also spew you out. God has called us out of the world. God has saved us. He does not intend for us to ever have the resemblance of the world, because that's the wrong confirmation. That's the wrong thing that's fashioning us. That's the wrong pattern. That's the wrong schematic. Amen. Let me use the best example of a schematic is this. How many of you got a refrigerator in your house?
Amen.
Guess what? Every last one of those refrigerators are exactly the same, because they all have the same schematic. Amen. Change the schematic, and change the refrigerator. What God is saying, he said, the fashion is shaping. If you don't fashion and shape yourselves according to my word, then you will fashion and shape yourselves according to the world. Amen? All right, skip that one. Go to the next verse. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your own souls? When we're disobedient, we're not hurting anybody else but our own souls. When we spiritually regress, we're hurting what? I know it's hard. It's hard to read it up there, but it says your own soul. Amen? To cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath with your what you did, provoke me to wrath. You knew the right thing to do. You knew how to conduct yourself. God said that you went contrary to my word, so you provoke me to wrath. Skip, go down a little further. Go to the next. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers and the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the wickedness of their wives and your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even until this day. We all mess up. We all go in error. We all make mistakes. But if we would just humble ourselves, amen, we cannot regress back to where God has brought us from. God does not intend for any of us to go back. Amen. Now let's go back. We're going to finish up with 1 Peter chapter 1. Humble ourselves. We cannot turn our way, our ears away from hearing God's word and expect that God is going to bless us. Amen?
Amen.
Spiritual regression. Going back to the way we used to be. The very thing that God delivered us from, we're returning. And I think 2 Peter chapter 2 said it this way. The very thing that caused the dog to vomit, the dog went back to it. God cleaned up the sow from the mud, and they went back. And he says, when you go back, you know, sometimes you say, man, every time I get like this, it seems like it's so much harder to get to God. It is harder because you're giving the devil a foothold. And the Bible says when you go back, that latter state is worse than the former. Amen? So 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to skip down now. Verse 22. All right? Verse 22. So it says, when we disobey God, we sin against our own souls. Amen? Now verse 22 says, seeing you have purified your what? Well, how do you cleanse your soul? How do you purify your soul? By doing what?
Obeying
the truth through the Spirit unto. That means there's no hypocrisy. There's sincerity. There's no falsities. I'm sincere. I'm honest and I do it in earnest. Amen? Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a what kind of heart? Pure heart. God said, don't do no. I love you. He said, no, do it fervently. Amen. Brother or sister, I saw that you were in need. Brother to brother and sister to sister. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get another
one? Amen.
That means we all know, right? Do it what? Fervently. Not unfeigned. Well, I kind of like being around that sister. I'm a brother. God said, no, do it right. And vice versa. You cannot do it wrong and expect God to bless it.
Amen.
You can't do wrong and say God bless it. God says there's no respect to person. As I have done to the wicked, so will I do to you. When you develop their patterns away. Next verse. Being born again. Well, how will we all say? I mean, what kind of seed? Corruptible seed. Now you say, well, what does that mean? The Bible says the soul went out to sow. And he sowed seed. Amen. Corruptible seed. He sowed seed. Well, the corruptible seed, some of them fell by the wayside first. Some of them fell by the wayside. What is this? This is a seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground now. And then some fell among weeds or thorns, and it choked. That was what kind of seed? That seed didn't get planted. They weren't born the right way. That word didn't find a lodging place in their heart so that they would not sin against God. When the seed finds a lodging place, we will not sin against God. Because when we go to do wrong, the word of God will be in us. Jeremiah said, like a burning fire. Shut up in our bones, and then it would drive us to do the right thing and not the wrong. Corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the what? Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We will never go into regression as long as we abide in God's word and let his word abide in us. And Jesus said it this way. He said, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you. If we abide in him, and his words abide in us, we won't have the tendency, or we won't even have the inclination to go through spiritual regression. We won't go back to our former lusts. It's not up to me to judge though I am spiritually responsible. The
Bible says, then we will examine ourselves.
Yes.
Tonight, the challenge is examine yourself and see where are you with God. Amen. Have you been deceived by the devil? Have you been blindsided? Have you found yourself going away from God? Have you found yourself doing the ungodly things and acting and talking the things that you did before you got saved? God gets no honor out of that. Amen. It's time. Did you go to Psalms 116? This is the last one. Go to Psalm 116, and we'll start with verse 1. It's time to get it right. Amen. It's time to get on the Lord's side. How many want to be on the Lord's side? That's the only side that counts. Amen. When he makes up his sheaves, I want to be there. Amen. When he calls my name, I want to answer. Tonight, I love the Lord. Voice of my Lord, when I was in trouble, you heard me.
Amen. Yes.
And because he heard me tonight, I can say, I love the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was in trouble and I couldn't call on my wife because she couldn't help me. And I couldn't call on the bishop because he couldn't reach me. But I can say, I love the Lord because he heard me. Amen. That's why in your trouble, call on the right one. Amen. The next verse says, he heard my cry, my blood, because he has inclined his, because my life was not in sin and transgression. God heard me. Because his ear opened unto the prayers of the righteous. Amen. He heard me, therefore will I call upon him. Don't ever stop calling on God. Amen. I messed up. That's all right. Come back to God. Amen. Come back. Amen. The sorrows of death compassed me and the pain of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, but I didn't give up on God. Then called I upon
the Lord.
Amen. His name is a strong tower.
Amen.
The Bible said to the righteous, they able to run into it and be saved. When everything else is coming down, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen. The righteous are able to run to it. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is. I messed up. He's still merciful. Just acknowledge your transgression, your sins. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he, even when I messed up, God help me. Return unto thy. Somebody said, I don't have no peace of mind. I can't. And sometimes I don't even feel like I can find God. It's time to return. Amen. It's time to come back to God. Thus saith the Lord thy God unto thee, my ear is not too heavy that it cannot hear. Neither is my arm too short that it cannot save. Thus saith the Lord unto this my people, if thou wilt seek me with all of your heart, then shall you find me. For I, the Lord, am near unto thee. But if thou forsake me, I, the Lord, will forsake thee. Now come now and let us reason together. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you're willing and obedient, thou shalt live in the land, and thou shalt eat the good of the land. Thus saith the Lord unto thee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, God's trying to reach somebody. We don't know who it is, but you know. Amen. We don't know what God, you know. God is trying to reach somebody. It's time to go back. Let's go to a couple more verses. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. You know what? Some of us haven't had no peace of mind, haven't had no rest. Amen. Somebody said we just go through the motions.
Amen. We act like everything's all right. You don't have no rest. And the scripture said, God, it is vain for you to rise up early and to stay up late and eat the bread of affliction. For God gives his dearly beloved sleep.
Amen.
He gives us peace. God gives us rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul. Thank God. I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad.
Yes.
God has delivered my soul from death and my eyes from tears and my feet on the right path. Why, I'm going back to God. I will walk before the Lord as we sing. Only God can help us. Amen. Only God can deliver us. That's why I love the Lord, because he heard my prayer and my supplications. When we're in trouble, there's no rock that's higher than our God. David said, he is the rock of my salvation. As ministers come forward, amen, and I've been saying, God is the rock of our salvation. Though you may err, come now and let us reason together. It's time to return to God. For our God will have mercy, the Bible says, and he will abundantly pardon.
Shall accomplish that which he pleases. Thank God for the prophecy. I thank God because God speaks to us through the word of God. Amen. God speaks to us through our circumstances. I don't know about you all, but I don't want to regress. I've been baptized and running from my life too long. And I want him to send to me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to Egypt, but I want to go forward, amen? How many want to go forward this evening? Hallelujah. God is talking to somebody this afternoon, this evening, amen? God is talking to somebody. And I got a question to ask y'all this evening. How many want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Anybody want to go? Anybody's destination is heaven tonight? Why mine tonight ought to be, Lord, I want to do anything just to make it in. I don't want to be in error tonight. Because brothers and sisters, if the devil has your mind, he has you.
Amen. Yes.
If God I want my mind to be on the Lord's side. I want to dot every I and cross every T. Amen. I don't want to make a mistake when it comes to God. I want to do the right thing. Hallelujah. I don't think there's much more we can say tonight, brothers and sisters. But I know if I'm not dotting every I and crossing every T, I'm coming up to the altar. I'm coming up to the altar.